Carrie, we do a game on Fridays called Riffs on Record. And last week, the theme was the music for our regular guests. And when we played this for our contestants, they immediately knew. They're like, Terry Savage. Billy Joel, Uptown Girl.
I love it. I love the connection. I really do.
Me too. So the Fed chairman's going to speak tomorrow. What do you expect?
So we're having another one of those Fed meetings. Forget what the president demands. This is a very difficult time. I'm going to give you, just think about this logic. There's the one hand and the other hand. So the markets don't know what to make of what's going on. Like, suppose we have tariffs. That could lead to inflation and higher interest rates, or it could lead to a slowdown, a recession, less demand for money, and lower rates. How about the war in the Middle East? It's leading to higher oil prices, it looks like. That's inflation, so obviously higher rates. But on the other hand, what we've seen around the world today is scared money is rushing into the U.S. Treasury market, wanting to find safety. The more people dying to buy, the lower interest rates go. So we've seen 10-year Treasury rates drop a significant amount, a little bit anyway, today to 4.38%, down 0.006%. So I know that sounded like mumbo jumbo, but the fact is the markets are in charge and the markets don't know which way to go. Are we having inflation? Or, as we saw in retail sales, did everybody buy everything in the first quarter to get ahead of tariffs, and now they're going to stop shopping now? So maybe we're having a slowdown. The Fed's not going to cut now. First of all, they don't have to. Market's coming down. Rates are coming down a bit. And second of all, they're still worried about inflation. So when the Fed chairman speaks tomorrow, he will say nothing significant. The question is, when they look ahead through the rest of the year, do they still see themselves, as they hinted at, cutting twice, or maybe will they not say that? We'll see.
Usually when he speaks, that dramatically affects the markets, but we also know that when the president speaks, that directly affects the markets. Whose voice is more powerful these days?
Ask the taco market.
Yeah. All right,
but the thing is, the president can demand of the Fed, but that's just words. It's what the Fed does that matters. And right now, there's so much uncertainty. I'm not joking about politics. The markets themselves can't decide whether we're going to have inflation or we have so much debt that we're going to have to borrow so much money that rates should be higher, or we've all bought everything we're ever going to buy and the market will slow down, or the prices will go up because of tariffs and the economy will slow down, so rates should go lower. I'm serious. It's one of those moments. It's like trying to read tea leaves. I mean, I think I'd do better at reading tea leaves than figuring out whether the next significant move in rates is up or down. We just don't know. And I don't think the Fed's going to be interested in adding to the confusion.
Volatile is the word.
Right.
Okay. David's on the phone. David has a birthday tomorrow. David, you had a question about Medicare?
Yes, I do. So, yes, I'm turning 65. I'm going to continue to work with my same employer I've been with. I'm going to have the same health care coverage, Blue Cross. Do I need to contact Medicare at all? People are telling me if I don't contact them, I'll be penalized on ways I will never be able to reverse.
No. First of all, happy birthday, and don't contact Medicare.
You.
As long as you have great insurance. And in fact, some people will say, oh, just sign up for Part A, it's free. But you shouldn't do that, because are you contributing to a health savings account at work?
No, I am not.
Okay, but for people who are, once you sign up, even if you don't use it as your primary insurance, or you just take Part A, which is free, once you sign up for Medicare, you can no longer contribute to a health savings account. But as long as you have comparable coverage, you don't have to sign up until you're ready to retire, you stop working and you lose your insurance. But I want to give you one more piece of advice. And this is really important, when you stop working, let's say you work for another 3 or 4 or 5 years, and you love your insurance, they're going to say to you, well, you could have COBRA for 9 months. And you'll say, oh, yeah, I'll do that. I'll buy the same insurance, and then I'll sign up for Medicare. No, don't do that. You only have 6 months after you're eligible for Medicare, which is you lose your primary employer's insurance, to sign up for not only Medicare, but for the best supplement. So when you do retire, you make sure you sign up for Medicare immediately. Do not take COBRA and sign up for your Medicare, Part A and B, and then a supplement, Part G, Plan G.
Happy birthday, David.
Thank you so much, ladies.
Keep working, David.
So, Terry, does that apply if your husband is on your insurance as well? Because I thought when they turned 65, they were supposed to sign up for Part A. And then if...
No, okay. Wait, some employers, small companies, insurance policies, their health insurance policy may require that when an employee is 65, they have to sign up for Medicare and that becomes a primary payer. But most company plans do not require you to do that. Again, you can't contribute to a health savings account. You can no longer do that once you sign up for Medicare. And as long as you have comparable coverage, you don't have to sign up at age 65. If you work till 71 or 2 or whatever, you can sign up then. But then sign up immediately when you lose your employer coverage. Do not do the COBRA thing because if you go past 6 months, you cannot sign up for a great supplement.
That's crazy. So if your spouse... sign up for Part A, does that mean that you can't have a health savings account either?
Yes. If you're filing a joint return, you cannot contribute to a health savings account either if once your spouse is on Medicare. I'm 99% sure of that. I'm going to clarify that, but I'm pretty sure that when you're filing a joint return, you can't contribute any longer.
Okay. All right. On to Kevin. Kevin, you've got a question for Terry about advisory services. What do you mean?
Hi, Terry. How are you guys doing today?
Good.
The question is, I have Fidelity and Vanguard accounts. And I wondered, it's kind of a combination of mutual funds, blue chip stocks. I wondered if you'd recommend using the advisory services or, you know, managed account services from those.
Kevin, are you still working? And how old are you?
I'm 63.
Oh, you're still getting working. Ready for retirement someday. Okay. And is most of this in a 401k plan?
Let's see. 401k, IRAs, and regular brokerage.
Okay. You know, you are in the perfect spot to get some overall financial planning, not just which funds should you be in, and are you in something in your 401k and the exact same thing in your IRA, and you're not looking at it holistically. But I think what I would suggest is you try to spend a session with a fee-only fiduciary advisor. Now, I'm not going to say anything negative about the advisors that work with Fidelity and Vanguard. The funds are inexpensive. Sometimes the fees become more expensive, and sometimes they put you in funds that are more expensive in terms of the cost. So there's only one way I know that you can sign up for a session, at least an introductory meeting with one or two fee-only fiduciaries, WealthRamp.com. My friend Pam Kruger created this, Wealth, W-E-A-L-T-H, RAMP.com. It's a matching service like Match.com, only for fee-only fiduciaries, carefully vetted. You can read about it at TerrySavage.com. Top right, there's a box that says Find Your Trusted Advisor. Then you can use your own judgment about whether this will be helpful, but it'll be about more than what funds you own. It'll be like, did you update your will? Have you made an income stream plan for retirement and so forth?
All right. Good luck, Kevin. Here's a question for you, Terry. This is interesting. This person said, Terry, I got a letter from Social Security saying they got my letter requesting they cancel my Medicare. Made no such request, called and was told my coverage was not canceled. Then I got a letter saying I got a new card because I requested my name, number, or coverage that it was changed. Again, none of that has happened. Then I got a bill saying I owed an amount for less than usual. Called again. It's a late payment, which was paid times two. Called, and I'm still told everything is okay, but I'm skeptical. I will not have Medicare after June 30th.
That is the scariest thing that can happen. I thought I had a scary one when I got a notice that they'd approved, you know, a $2,000 claim for God knows what from some place in Texas. Medicare has a fraud number. I'm looking on my desk to see if I wrote it down. As I've been calling them, you need to call Medicare and report a fraud. Medicare Customer Services 1-800-MEDICARE. I'm sure you've called them already. This is scary, and I don't know exactly how to advise you, but you need to get something in writing from them. And it's very difficult to do that, but I would pursue this and pursue this so that you don't lose your Medicare.
Thank you so much, Terry. Always great to talk to you. Have a beautiful day.
Thank you. You too, Lisa.
You will find her at terrysavage.com.